Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. Today, I'm speaking with Ellen Belcher. She's the editor of the editorial page for the Dayton Daily News. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, Emily.
Governor Kasich named the head of the Dayton Development Coalition, James Lefwich, to run Jobs Ohio. That's the effort to privatize the Department of Development in the state. Kasich wanted Mark Kwame to run it, but his appointment came under criticism because he's not an Ohio resident. And in an opinion piece this week, the Dayton Daily News says this now turns out to be good news for Dayton. Why is that?
Well, I think it's sort of an interesting little twist of events. The governor felt really strongly about Mark Kwame. I don't think anybody thinks that Mr. Lefwich is going to usurp Mark Kwame because Mark Kwame got another job. He's not going to be in the cabinet, but I'm sure his portfolio with the governor will still be quite as thick and powerful. The good thing for Dayton is that now, since Mr. Lefwich will be heading the Department of Development, is he's going to be at the table and hearing about discussions when people are looking to relocate or expand in Ohio. And he certainly knows all the opportunities and the advantages that Dayton would bring to, any of those moves. And I think probably most significant from the governor's standpoint is the governor's been really clear that he thinks Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is an underutilized asset. And Jim really does understand the base. He understands how important synergy is and being physically connected to the base. He understands the university climate here. So that's nothing but good for Dayton.
So in some other news this week, the Ohio House passed a bill to require voters to show a government photo ID when they go to the polls. And in another Dayton Daily News editorial, you call on the Senate and Secretary of State Husted to ignore this. Why?
Well, I think it's overkill. The bottom line is there have been instances of voter registration fraud. And the important word in that sentence is registration. There is no evidence that there is any, even a little bit of fraud in the sense that people are showing up at the polls to vote even in somebody else's name. It's a problem that just doesn't exist except in some people's mind. Now, the danger is, I think this was out of the Brennan Institute, one estimate is that about 10% of people in Ohio don't have photo IDs. And, you know, think about who those people might be. For example, if your grandmother doesn't drive anymore and didn't keep up her passport, she might not have a photo ID. And a lot of people who are poor, for example, who don't have transportation, they don't have a driver's license or they don't have a passport. And right now, the way it works is if you show up at the polls with a valid piece of identification, like a utility bill or a pay stub, something that has your address on it, that's accepted. But it doesn't have to be a photo ID. And I think our concern is that it's really going to affect young people and older people, minority people, and the poor much more disproportionately than anybody else.
What do you think the chances are that this bill will move through the Senate?
I don't know the answer to that. The fact that it wasn't in Secretary Husted's proposed reforms, I think, is kind of telling. It wasn't at the top of his list, in other words, and he's a Republican. The Senate is in the Republican control. The House has been pretty, some people would say, a little bit too quick to pull the trigger on some things. Things move in the House very quickly right now. The Senate has been a little bit more deliberate on some things. And you'll recall when the collective bargaining bill passed that even though there's a fairly hefty margin of Republicans, it only passed by one vote. And so I think that there's just a little bit more deliberateness happening there right now.
I want to talk a moment about the governor's proposed budget. Local governments are facing some major cuts here. And I just want to know what we can expect for Dayton.
Well, I think the local government fund cuts are a huge deal for this community. And for Dayton, what that means, the city of Dayton, that is, they're going to lose $11.2 million just like that. And across the state, what's going to happen is there's about $500 million that is going to be taken away from local governments, the counties, the cities, the townships. And it's going to be disproportionately felt. I mean, there are some communities that don't rely a lot on the local government fund, but the ones that do are typically small rural areas or cities that have don't have a lot of wealth to tax. And the whole point of the local government fund was to sort of set a floor for communities across the state. The local governments would provide police and fire protection. It wasn't designed to help cities out per se. It was to say, wait a minute, there are some places that aren't going to have enough resources to do what we, the state, expect all across the state, regardless of where you live. And there's just going to be a lot of brutal cuts that have to happen because a lot of that money goes for police, fire, garbage pickup, the sorts of things that are pretty basic to local government.
I've been speaking with Ellen Belcher from the Dayton Daily News. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This is 91.3 WYSO.